Welcome to the Heavens Devils podcast, a Forest Green Rovers podcast by two Americans who don't know what they're talking about. My name is Nathan. This is Sean.
Heavens Devils podcast. God save thee, ancient mariner, from the fiends that plague thee thus. Why lookest thou so? With a Cain Wilson cross, I shot the albatross. We finally did it, Nathan.
Let's go.
We finally broke our streak of, what was it, eight games?
Winless. Let's go. Well, that was beautiful. What was that from?
That was the rhyme of the ancient mariner from Samuel Taylor Coleridge. And fitting, because we were lost at sea there for weren't we, Nathan?
We were lost at sea. We were lost at sea. Wait, was Cain Wilson the assist on that? I don't remember.
He was. I think he crossed it in. Yeah, it was so long ago. I think he crossed it in, and it was a header from Addie Stevens that gave us that crucial 1-0 victory.
Okay. Well, no one's going to remember anyway, and it works well in the – it works perfectly in that little poem there.
I got to close the window before I record because New York don't know how to be quiet.
Jimmy, we finally broke the losing streak – well, drawing streak, losing – draw, whatever, the winless streak, I guess, yeah, is what people say if you know English. The winless streak. We finally broke it against Colchester United. Well, that was so long ago because there was no game yesterday, Jimmy. No game on Saturday. I woke up like so excited for Scunthorpe. I was like, oh my God, I cannot wait for this game. It's so huge now. I mean, every game matters now that we're at the end of the season.
And it's crunch time.
Teams are kind of on our – yeah, so I woke up on Saturday like, oh my God, I'm so pumped for this game. And then I was like, wait, I was on Twitter and there was like nobody tweeting about it. I was like, wait, what? What? And I looked at the schedule. I was like, wait, there's no game this week? What? It completely like threw me. And the funny thing, so I had, I don't know, my dates were all messed up because of there was no match this week. And so our next game after Scunthorpe is Hartlepool, I believe. So I was talking to the Hartlepool podcast guys about recording today for this pod to preview the Hartlepool game, which is in 2 weeks, but I thought it was 1 week. Anyway, and they thought I was crazy, but they were down. So shout out to the Hartlepool guys.
Hey, maybe these American guys are just, you know, getting it in early.
Super punctual. Yeah. So then I realized my fault, and I texted the Hartlepool guys back, and I was like, hey, sorry, monkey hangers. I am a week early. I can't read a calendar. But anyway, yes, no match this Saturday, which stunk. We did have Colchester on Tuesday. If we finally broke the streak, Jimmy. But anyway, let's get into this pod. So today we're going to talk first a little bit about our trip. But before we do that, first we're going to talk about our trip. What are we going to talk about?
Well, maybe we can talk about how woefully unprepared we are.
We are for our trip for this episode.
Yeah, and just for life in general in these trying times.
Brand. Yes. Very on brand. So we're gonna talk about our trip, which I'm so excited for that. We'll talk about that in a second. I want to mention Ebu. Give a shout out to Ebu for something. Give a shout out to Cain Wilson. Then we're gonna pump some iron, and majority of this show is gonna be pumping iron, baby, with Matt Ellis from the Arm Brew Podcast, a Scunthorpe United podcast.
Iron Brew. We gotta ask. You know, when we go to England, we gotta see the reaction from Aitchison, from Cads, everyone. We should bring some Iron Brew with us and see if there's some sort of Pavlovian response for the Scotsman and their national drink.
I love it. So anyway, we're gonna pump some iron. We're gonna play Fashion Police. We got a rival club reconnaissance segment with our boy Matt Ellis from the Iron Brew Podcast, a Scunthorpe United podcast. Awesome dude. Shout out to Matt. He made us fall in love with Scunthorpe. It made us feel so bad, too, for them.
He's
man.
A real
it
one.
Sucks.
Matt is a real one.
Matt was a real one.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like I think we often forget how tenuous life can be. You know, I think most Americans are exposed to the Premier League, where there's like billions of in funds. There's millions. You're talking that scale. But for clubs that have this like storied history that have been around forever, life is that cushion isn't there, right? And Matt really drove that home for us.
Yeah, that's a great life lesson. Great way to look at it, Shimmy Cakes. He made us fall in love with Scunthorpe. Made us feel so bad that they're probably going to get relegated. I hope they don't. I hope they have like a crazy, heroic, miracle, miraculous, whatever, great escape. But things are not looking good for them. But for us, it's the perfect time to play Scunthorpe because we are in desperate need of a morale-boosting win. I mean, we did win against Colchester. We finally broke that winless streak against Colchester United. But it wasn't like the most dominating, impressive win you've ever seen, even though we did keep a clean sheet. Shout out to the defense. But we need like a big statement win to get us back on track and secure, if not the league title, at least secure promotion to League One. And so it couldn't come at a more perfect time. Scunthorpe have not won since February 8th, so long ago. It is now March 28th or 7th, whatever. Somewhere, whatever. It's a long time ago. I don't know my dates, as evidenced by me having the Hartlepool guys on this podcast 2 weeks early.
And having no idea what's going on during the trip either.
We're just yes. Oh, all right. Let's talk about the trip. About the trip. We'll talk about Scunthorpe in our Pumping Iron segment with our man Matt Ellis from the Arm Brew Podcast. Pumping Iron. Anyway, we'll talk about that later. Before we talk about our trip, I want to give a quick shout out to Ibu Adams, our guy Ibu Adams, who made 100 appearances with the club. He is now in the 100 club. Yes, he is a league legend. He will leave here someday as a league legend. Hopefully not for a long time. Shout out to Ibu. That's right. Shout out to Ibu for 100 appearances, man. That is awesome. You can't find a single person who doesn't love Ibu. You know, of course, he's going to have a yellow card every game, but the effort, the energy that he puts into it is admirable and inspires everyone on the pitch and inspires us. Like, when Ibu's on his game, we are up. Like, it's must-watch TV. You stand up, you know, the whole time. Like, he energizes me off my couch. I love that man. So, huge shout-out to him for 100, 100 appearances.
Ibu embodies that experiment of nothing ventured, nothing gained. You know, like, he's just always there. He's getting stuck in. Unfortunately, he's also gaining a bunch of yellow cards in the process. But you cannot fault the spirit at all. And I think that's what's driven us this past couple of years through the ups and downs, through the kind of the fallow periods like we just experienced. Like, he's always just going to bring it. So, salute
100%. Salute to Ibu. And he may be a future guest very soon. Anyway. Let's go on. Oh, one other thing I want to talk about before we talk about our little trip to the UK is Kane Wilson. The rumors, Kane Wilson is being scouted by Bristol City for a transfer at the end of the season, Shimmy.
The Wagamama Shimmy. Wonder.
The Wagamama Wonder. I hope there's a Wagamama in Bristol, Shimmy. What do you think,
that could be a deal breaker.
That could be a deal breaker, yes. Man. Yeah, I'm sure he's going to move on at the end of the season. But just appreciate him for staying with us, you know, this season, not leaving in the January transfer. I'm sure there were offers out there for him. Just a phenomenal player, phenomenal person. And if he has to leave us for somewhere, at least it's Bristol. He'll be close. He'll still be close to home. When we come on this trip next year, we can go visit him in Bristol, go watch a Bristol City game. But I hope it's not true. I hope he stays with us for life. I hope he becomes a centurion like Ibu Adams. But anyway, that's a little rumor that's out there. I'm sure there's a bunch of clubs that are going to be trying to snatch up Kane Wilson at the end of the season. But who knows? I mean, he seems to love this club. Who knows? Maybe a miracle happened. He'll stay with us another year.
Hey. We don't know.
So, yeah. Anyway, Shimmy, let's get on to our trip. We are coming to the United Kingdom on April 15th. Through April 24th. We will be there for two games. Oldham Athletic at home on Monday, April something. I don't have the date in front of me. Whatever that Monday is.
17th.
April 17th. And then we will be there for the Bristol Rovers on Saturday. I believe it's April 23rd.
Yep.
Both the men's game and the women's game. I cannot wait, Shimmy.
So excited.
Shimmy. Oh, so excited. So first of all, a call to all you people out there who are not from the area. All the international people from Yorkshire or North England, whatever, wherever you're from, like, it would be so awesome if we can get, like, a huge, like, international presence for these games. We've already heard from a few of you, I think five or six we've got who are coming, so that's going to be awesome. Cannot wait to hang out with you, but it'd be great if we get more. I know it's kind of short notice, but maybe we can make this, like, a spring tradition, and we try to make, like, International Day every year. And get a bunch. That's the dream. We get a bunch of international people there every year.
It has to start late somewhere, notice, right? It has summers, but we can at least put out the call. And listen, the one we are obviously horribly out of our depth in trying to plan this itinerary. But the one thing that we want to achieve and is on the top
of the
list.
We have no plans.
Yeah, there's no plans. Yeah, but the one thing we want to achieve is to experience that atmosphere in the South Stand. It would just be awesome if so many people from all parts of the world, if they could try to make it out there and be there. But if not. There's going to be more opportunities in the future, but man, we're just so excited to have it be on the horizon here.
Oh man, and I just can't wait to meet all the Forest Green Rovers fans. I just cannot wait. Cannot wait. It's going to be so fun to see them play live. It's going to be surreal to be inside the new lawn, the stadium we've seen on TV for so long. It's going to be surreal.
Will Mobot make time for us? Heroes. We'll be able to get past security. We don't know.
That's the one content request we have to ask the club. Can we interview Mobot while we were there? Speaking of, we have no plans yet. Shimmy, nope. We got to make plans.
Yes, we do.
We are woefully unprepared, as you said earlier, for this trip. Our only plan is land in London and depart from Bristol on Sunday. Yes. And go to the game on Monday.
And the hope is that all of our complete set of internal organs are that we arrive with, we leave with. That's our only goal.
we might have to pay. Anyway, never mind.
Okay.
offline conversation. But anyway, we have no plans. We are aimlessly going to, wander through England, try to figure it out as we go.
We're taking the Rovers part of Forest Green Rovers. Extra
yes,
seriously.
There we go. We are embodying the Rovers mentality. So we're going to land in
London. And
also
the green part of it, because we're very, very inexperienced when it comes to...
That's true.
...to planning a trip to the UK.
So Friday we land. We'll do Friday, Saturday in London. Sunday we'll head up to Gloucestershire. We'll be there Sunday, Monday for the match against Oldham Athletic. Cannot wait. I think we'll hang out there on Tuesday as well. So first item of business, we got to figure out where we're staying in the Gloucestershire region. Some people told us Nailsworth. Some people told us Stroud. Some people told us Gloucester. I don't know what to do, Shimmy. I think we go Stroud. I don't know. It seems like the most central, biggest town.
Yeah.
Listeners,
I would
area
personally
probably...
like to be under Fat Tony's protection. I would like to feel
yes,
the security blanket. So I think Stroud seems like the look.
Okay. All right. So maybe we'll do Stroud on Sunday night, Monday night. Mm-hmm. Tuesday through Friday, we have no idea what we're doing. We might stay in Gloucestershire. We might go to London. We might go to... Who knows? We have no plans. So
we might end up in the Shetlands
us,
somehow. We don't know.
If you have ideas for us, let us know. Four Screen Rovers, Rob Edwards, if you want us to come train with the team, let us know. We'd be happy to teach the boys a thing or two about footy. But we have no plans for Tuesday through Friday. So if you have ideas, let us know, because we got nothing. We don't even know where we have no place to stay. We have nothing. So let us know. We have very poorly planned this. Send us some ideas for Tuesday through Friday. And then Saturday, Bristol. Saturday's all Bristol day, baby. Cannot wait.
Yeah,
Bristol Rovers on the road. Oh, it's going to be a huge match, especially because Bristol Rovers have finally turned it on. That's going to be such a fun game. Both the men's match first and then the women's match after. How lucky are we? We were so worried we were going to come in spring and the women's season would be over. Not so fast, my friend. We are going to get to see legends like Destiny's Child, Charlie Rollins, Hattie, the Batty, Jones, Dim Sum, Dim Shady. Oh, I cannot wait. Ninko Rucker, bring the ruckus.
I know, it's just
going to
be
so
incredible.
Fun, man. Yeah. Beck Pan and goal. Going to see legends like that. Anyway, other items of business. We got to get a flag. Shout out to Dylan Banks. He sent me his flag guy. So we got to buy a flag. I want to get like giant life-size cardboard cutouts of some of the players. But I don't know. We're just going to do as many stupid things.
Yeah, a trip not complete without our own pair of Dom Bernard shorts, right? Custom tailored.
Yes, we got to wear some Dom. Yes, I love that idea. Flares are probably illegal, right? Because I know you never see them in the games.
They don't like a wide leg pant in England anymore. Yes, they are illegal.
Shimmy. Yeah. Anyway, we have no idea what we're doing on this trip. We're going to plan it as soon as we get off this pod. So we should probably go do that. So let's get on to our boy, Matt Ellis from the Iron Brew Podcast. Let's go pump some iron. Are you ready, Shimmy?
Yes, let's talk to the Iron Brew bro.
Let's pump some iron, baby. Pumping iron with Matt Ellis. He's going to get us ready for this amazing match on Saturday where we get our big bounce back win, our big morale boosting win against Scunthorpe United. So we'll talk pumping iron. We'll do Fashion Police. We'll do a fun little rival club reconnaissance segment with him, and then we'll find out what's happening at Scunthorpe. Learn all we need to know so we're ready for Saturday, baby. All right, let's get out of here. Let's go to Matt Ellis, and we'll see you on the other side of Matt. Matt, take it away. Matt was awesome, by the way. Shout out to Matt. All right, let's go. Boom. show behind enemy lines with our friend Matt Ellis from the Iron Brew podcast, a Scunthorpe United podcast. Matt, thank you so much for hanging out with us, man.
No problem at all. Good to see you. Not kind of anything I thought to see in my lifetime, American FDR fans, but here we are.
Yeah. Hell has officially frozen over. Somewhere a pig is piloting a plane.
What makes you think we're American? We don't have the typical Gloucestershire accent? Well,
fair enough.
It's going to become even more apparent how American we are as we go through this chat, Matt, because you will see how dumb we really are, how little we know about soccer or football.
Yeah, we engage in the number one American pastime, which is ignorant opinions. So you're going to get a lot of those today. But got to say, we love the name of your podcast, Matt. Iron Brew. Perfect. Is that your favorite beverage? That's like a soda, right?
Yeah. It's a famous orange colored soda, if you like, that's made in Scotland. It's like the national drink of Scotland. And obviously, because Scunthorpe United's nickname's the Iron, that's kind of where it's from. So yeah.
I love it.
It's a brilliant name.
Yeah. And I Google it, the first thing that comes up is Donald Trump in front as an Iron Brew bottle. But anyway,
same hue, right? Same tint to the soda in his skin. So
exactly.
makes sense.
Well, anyway, all right, cool. Well, let's talk about the Iron. That's such an awesome nickname, a badass nickname. The Iron. I mean, it's got to be one of the best nicknames in League Two. We love the lower leagues for these crazy nicknames. I mean, Iron's not that crazy. It's just awesome. It's just hard. So anyway, let's get into it. First thing we're gonna do is do a little segment we call Fashion Police, where all three of us are gonna evaluate your kit. We're just gonna do the home kit today. We're gonna evaluate the kit. We're gonna give it a score out of 10. Sound good? You're in?
Yeah, let's go. Let's do it.
All right, let's do it. Here we go. I'll go first, then Sham, and then Matt, you can finish it off. So here we go. Fashion Police.
Nails, hair, hips, heels, face done, lips real, purse full, big bills. Yes, I'm a big deal.
Scunthorpe United home kit. So you have amazing colors, the claret and blue. And I don't know who stole that color from who. I know West Ham has it, Aston Villa have it, Scunthorpe have it, the 1970s Philadelphia Phillies have it. I don't know where it came from. Maybe you can educate us on that. But I love the color scheme. The nickname, as I already said, one of the hardest, if not the hardest nicknames in the game, the Iron. Badass nickname. You have so much going for you, and yet these kits let you down, Matt. I'm sorry to say. They are the traditional colors, but the claret fades into the sky blue color on the shirt. The shorts are blue with these also like sky blue socks. I gotta tell you, Matt, it does not embody the people of Scunthorpe. I know nothing about Scunthorpe except the name of the town and the nickname of the team, but based on that, my idea of Scunthorpe, like my vision is like hardworking, tough people, black soot on their faces, and this kit does not embody that at all. This kit is a candy-ass soft kit. It's a disgrace to the blue-collar people of Scunthorpe. However, as a soft, candy-ass joke of a kit, I also think, though, it is the perfect representation of the team's performance on the pitch this season. So I want to give it a 3.4 out of 10. However, the sponsor, Cancer Research UK, you can't hate that. We are an anti-cancer podcast. So I have to give a 2-point raise on the score for that. 5.4 out of 10, Sean. What do you got?
Oof, Nathan, damn, you came for Scunthorpe with that last one.
Not the people, just the team.
Not the people, yeah, the team, Scunthorpe United. But, I actually got to disagree with you a little bit on this one. Because claret and blue is so ubiquitous, you listed all the other clubs, including American baseball teams, that have gone with this color scheme. I thought they did kind of something interesting with like that gradient kind of change on it. So, even though you think it doesn't jibe with the character of the people who we've never met in a place we've never been, but I like their take on the claret and blue. As you said, it really hasn't helped inspire on the pitch. I don't think it's the worst. Like you said, because they support cancer research, I got to give them props for that. So I think the sponsorship itself overcomes any fashionista hate I may have on it. So I'm going to give it a 7 out of 10. And you know, it's also my thing. I'm going outside of the bounds of what we said. We're just doing the home kit, but I had a look at the away kit. I think the away kit's fire. I like the black and yellow kind of thing. I'm a big Wiz Khalifa fan. You know, Columbus Crew. There you go. So I think I can't unsee that, and that's influenced my score. So I'm giving them 7 out of 10.
All right, Matt. What do you got?
You know, I kind of understand, you know, all your comments there. And it's not the best kit we've had in a while. You know, we've had better, and it's not that great. And you know, I would probably give it maybe a 5. And the reason we've got Cancer Research as a sponsor, we've had it before, but the reason we've got it this time is because the club couldn't find a sponsor at the start of the season. So we put that on for free. So, you know,
Had I known that, I would have bumped it up to like a 7.4. That's awesome. Awesome.
Shout out to Scunthorpe United for
doing that. Shout out to Scunthorpe. That's awesome.
So yeah, there we go. But yeah, I agree. It's not the best kit. I'm not a fan to be honest, but we've had better. But you know, I mean, that's the kind of least of our problems this season.
Okay, fair enough.
As I'm sure we'll go into.
All right. But yes. So Matt, how would you stack up? How would you stack up this year's kit, home kit, with that '94 kit, the infamous '94 Pleasure Island kit, which also Pleasure came across Island in our kit. Research.
Yes.
Well, that was a kind of a little bit of a monstrosity as well, and I've probably got a picture of me or my friend like kind of wearing that when we were kids.
Yeah.
You know, but like, yeah, it was unique, and I probably prefer that, to be honest.
Enough.
I would rock that kit if I actually. It's so bad, it's good. Yeah, I love that kit, the Pleasure Island one.
It came full circle.
What is Pleasure Island? This is a family podcast. Do we need to?
It's completely PG. It was a theme park that used to be basically in Cleethorpes, which is probably the closest seaside town to Scunthorpe. And like since defunct, so it's probably just like a wasteland now. So
nice.
I love it. Well, speaking of wastelands, let's move on to Scunthorpe. Just kidding. I'm kidding. I don't know anything about Scunthorpe. I'm kidding. It's just too good of a segue to go.
Yeah, we are not going to be welcome to East Midlands anytime soon.
Girl, I don't dance, I work. I don't play, I slay. I don't walk, I strut, 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 and then sashay. But I don't work for free. That's not the tea, hunty. So make it rain on me.
On to Scunthorpe. Could you tell us a little bit about the culture? Is it this like blue collar, hardworking, you know, hardworking group of people that we think it is? Or like what's the culture around the town and this club?
Yeah, so I mean I grew up in a suburb kind of in Scunthorpe, and really it is, as you say, it's kind of a working class town for the most part. Most of the the industry obviously is based on the steelworks in the town, because they originally found iron ore nearby in one of the kind of boroughs of Scunthorpe before it became Scunthorpe. There was like 5 boroughs, and essentially they found iron ore and then they built the steelworks, etc. And that's where kind of most of the sort of employment and kind of the focal point of the town's always been, kind of the steelworks, and hence the nickname the Iron, because we found iron ore.
So good.
So yeah, and you are right, it's very kind of a working class town. You know, it's got its good parts and its bad parts, the same as kind of probably any kind of relatively small town in England, really, or in the north of England, indeed. You've probably got it right. There's quite a lot of pride in kind of the history of kind of the steelworks has basically been a really formative force in the town and things like that. And really, that's kind of the main, the football club and the steelworks are really what people know kind of Scunthorpe for. And there's not really anything much there else there. And, you know, a wasteland probably isn't that, you know, inaccurate. So,
but a fun wasteland.
That's right.
Yeah.
A wasteland to take the family on a weekend out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, nice. No, I mean, the name Scunthorpe itself, I don't know how it sounds to the UK ear, but to the American ear, it sounds like such a dark, it's like Grimsby. Also, like, sounds
yeah.
like, he's like,
I mean, that is a dark place.
English. They're one of your rivals too, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, yeah, exactly. They are. Yeah. And we'll probably be playing them next season in the conference.
In the National League.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there is kind of a famous thing that used to be, I don't think it's really a thing anymore, but it used to be called the Scunthorpe problem, where if you put something into kind of like a search engine, or if you like ordered a package or something like that, and then you put Scunthorpe as your address, it wouldn't let you put it in because it's got a swear word in the middle of it, obviously. So it, you literally, you have, you know,
oh, no.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah,
that's so amazing.
Google the Scunthorpe problem and you'll see what I mean.
That didn't occur to me.
This is just like this is like the mathematical formulas that come in front of someone in like the meme. All of a sudden, after you said that,
yes. the word came out.
You can't unsee it.
I can't unsee it now. I will never look at this again.
You will never see it the same way again. No.
That is amazing.
Oh man, basic services from the name.
Oh, that's awesome.
Crazy. Yeah, you know, I gotta say, Nathan, like Scunthorpe actually reminds me a lot of Pittsburgh in the U.S. I know you brought up Philadelphia, another Pennsylvania city, but
which I grew up near. Yeah. I grew up very close to Pittsburgh.
Yeah. So like that. Yeah, Pittsburgh here is like a steel town, and their big football team, who's like really famous and successful historically, is called the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I get a big sort of like vibe from that, from your descriptions.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. I mean, it's part of the Rust Belt, isn't it, in the US? So
yes,
exactly. There's kind of sort of like three or four sort of like towns/cities in kind of the UK that were kind of real sort of big steel production centres, which Scunthorpe was one, Sheffield was another, and there was kind of a couple up north. And obviously, you know, since kind of a lot of the manufacturing base and things like that have moved out of the country since kind of the 60s and 70s because of the Tory government. These towns have fallen into disrepair because there's less money there and things like that. And so, there's parallels there.
Yeah, man. Yeah, and I grew up in the Rust Belt, so I feel I feel the pain of you know, industry leaving and local economies collapsing. And anyway, so and
we also see why sport becomes so important too, right?
Yeah.
Like sport kind of can fill that void a little bit and give people to boost their morale and rally around, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And then there used to be pride in the football team in Scunthorpe, but not anymore, I'm afraid.
It's such a shame because I want to root for you guys, you know, like the story, you know, behind you guys, the nickname is awesome. The colors are awesome. Even the kit isn't. So I want to root for you guys. It's such a shame that right now you're battling relegation, and unless you have a great escape, we're probably going to go down. We'll talk about that in a minute. But yeah, it's a bummer, man, that you guys are currently bottom of the table, because I feel like a town like that, a club like that, like you don't belong in the National League. But anyway, before we get on to, we're going to talk a little bit more about Scunthorpe in just a second. But first, I just wonder, what are kind of the people of Scunthorpe? What are your thoughts on Forest Green?
I have actually been to watch Scunthorpe against Forest Green a few years ago. It was in the FA Cup actually, and I'd never kind of really been to the Cotswolds and Nailsworth, and you know, it was really nice. It was really nice part of the country. We won as well, which was good. But obviously that's not gonna happen anymore. But yeah, like the sort of connotations with Forest Green is just kind of the veganism thing and the kind of the eco-warrior thing. I mean, like I don't have a problem with that really. But a lot of people think of that kind of associate with Forest Green, but you know, that's the kind of vibe we get. But like you know, at the minute, obviously, you know, relatively small club doing really, really well at the moment, and clearly, you know, well kind of clear at the top of the league, you know, and obviously been in the League Two for a while. But you know, those are the kind of vibes kind of I get. And when I went, I had a good time. It was a nice little ground, you know, countryside and stuff like that. It was a nice day out, so yeah.
Nice. Well, yeah, so great. You went to the Cotswolds. Sham and I are going for our first time in like, what, 3 weeks, Sham?
Yeah, middle of April.
And we haven't, excuse the pun here, we haven't ironed out the details of the trip yet. So, Matt,
brilliant.
What a fake laugh that was. I love it. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Trying to laugh at my bad pun there. But Matt, any advice for us? Where should we go? What should we do in the Cotswolds?
I mean, there's like a lot of really nice countryside, like for things like, you know, if you want to go walking and stuff like that, in nature, it's kind of known for that. Really good scenery, some good pubs, you know, definitely go to a few pubs, get some food, get some beer, you know, and that's really
that's
my experience.
That part's on the list.
Yeah, that's good. Like,
that's the only thing we've had figured out.
Okay, cool. Beer. I mean, that's the most important thing. So, you know, but yeah, I don't know what else to suggest really, because I've only been once and it was just for the day. So, but yeah, like if you do those things, how long are you going for?
Well, we're going to be in England for a little over a week. We're going to land in London, do some stuff in London, head out to Forest Green for a home game.
For the bank holiday.
Then, then we'll, then we don't know what we're doing between Monday and Saturday. And then Saturday is Bristol Rovers away. So we're going to go to that. That's going to be a blast. So really, we're just trying to figure out right now, what are we doing between the Monday game and then Saturday game? We have no plans yet, and we're 3 weeks away. We haven't even booked hotels. So anyway, we are very, as Shalom says, woefully unprepared for this trip. But it's going to be fun. That's what makes it more fun, is when we have no expectations. We're just going to show up and see what happens. Anyway, let's move on to Scunthorpe. Back to Scunthorpe. So we first want to learn a little bit more about this team, Matt. So we are big nickname guys on this pod. Want to know, who are the best nicknames on this Scunthorpe team?
That's a good question, and the problem is because we change players so often, like, you know, I don't know, really, most of the players are crap, so I honestly don't know. I can't tell you. That's a good question, but
all right, okay,
off the top of my head, but
sure, the catch-all nickname is crap.
We are not in a good place, like the team. No. Like, I mean, I call them donkeys, so
All right, nice. Well, we're gonna actually talk about that. I promise. Actually, it's good. We're keep pushing off the negative Scunthorpe talk till the end, but it's coming. We are gonna ask you what went wrong, what is going wrong, and how do you guys turn it around? We're gonna ask you that in a minute. But first, we want to get to know a little bit more about the team in this little segment called Rival Club Reconnaissance. So it's Rival Club Recon, where we skip the obvious questions such as who would win in a fight, Scunny Bunny or the Easter Bunny, and instead we go deeper to learn about our opposition. By the way, shout out to your mascot, Scunny Bunny. Yeah. What is that? Let's take a step back here. What's a Scunny Bunny? Is it just a bunny that dresses in Scunthorpe United?
It is literally just just that. It's a bloke in a bunny costume.
I love it. I love it. Again, that does not match what I imagine like the Scunthorpe identity to be, but I love it. Wait, that doesn't look like a bunny. It looks like a dog. I just Googled it. That does not... I guess I kind of see it in this... Okay. All right. Scunny Bunny. This is great.
Well, you know, one thing I will give the Scunny Bunny name credit for is that it reminds me of Pulp Fiction, you know, at the beginning, that diner scene where the couple is like holding up the diner.
Yes.
He says, "I love you, honey bunny." You know, I just stick in Scunny Bunny for that. Yes. So.
All right. Yeah,
yeah. You got a little bit of that Tarantino cool. You could mooch off of.
I'll take that, you know, because we need everything we can get.
So anyway, we're going to give you some descriptions, and we want to get to know the team. So we want you to tell us which player, in your opinion, most embodies this description. So Sean, hit him with the first one.
And we'll add this addendum to it too, Matt. Since all the players now are crap, if you can think of one historically that fits the bill, we'll open it up. It doesn't have to be a player from the current squad. It could be now or historically.
Okay.
All right, hit him, Sean.
Okay, so here we go. Okay, so we all know that it's the iron in hemoglobin that keeps us going strong as humans, right? It carts oxygen all over the body.
By the way, I should pause here. As you could, if you can't tell, these are all going to be iron-themed questions. Go ahead.
Yes, because we're idiots. Yep. So who in this Ironsides, or historically, has been the oxygen of the team, the one that's like boosted morale for either in the squad or in the with the support, or who's been like the talisman?
I mean, for this team, you've got slim pickings, really. But kind
a great actor. I loved him in Blazing Saddles. Bad joke there.
But you know, I'd probably say that description loosely applies to one of our players who's kind of never really fit at the minute because he's been ill since COVID. Alfie Beeston probably is the player that kind of embodies that. And I've got a nickname for you because his nickname is the Beast.
Oh, the Beast. There we go. That's what I'm talking about. All right. Well, he's not playing in this match either, I assume?
I'm not sure. I don't know if he'll be fit. He's been playing enough, but I think he's got like long COVID or something like that.
He's
struggling for fitness. But if he was fit, he would be one of our best players.
Okay.
Missing the beast.
Well, follow up question to that. Who do you think is most likely to have an iron deficiency on the team?
I mean, most of the players.
All right, we'll take that.
Fair enough. Okay, so okay, next one. So again, you guys are the irons. So who in the squad is the best at pressing the opposition players on the pitch?
Good question. I would probably say, trying to fit, it would probably be the fittest player on the team, and none of them are particularly fit. but oh right, okay, yeah. So essentially, we've got a striker who's on loan from Blackburn. He's called Sam Burns, and he's very fit, to be fair, and he does a lot of chasing down the ball. So it would definitely be him,
Sammy Burns.
Nice.
Shout out to Sam Burns on loan from Blackburn, right?
Yeah, that's the one.
Oh, Sammy Blackburns, let's go! All right. Follow up question: who has the wrinkliest clothes on the team?
The wrinkliest clothes. I mean, I don't know, really. I mean, they all look a bit of a mess. you know, like it's pretty kind of traumatic at the minute down at the club. You know, I doubt like any of them have got time to iron anything. So, yeah. So I'm not sure on that one.
All right, go ahead, Sean.
All right, so again, we as Americans, you know, we're ignorant. And whenever we think of the industrial age in Britain, we think of hard scrabble, sooty children endlessly laboring in a factory. So in your opinion, Matt, who do you think is the best academy prospect for Scunthorpe United? Who will we hear about in the future?
Or maybe not just academy, but a young guy that you have on the team, even on the first team right now.
Well, I mean, funny you should say that, because we've got a couple who have actually kind of come through from the academy and doing really well at the moment.
Nice.
Surprisingly, considering how crap the rest of the team is. But you probably got Harry Lewis or Harvey Cribb, who's kind of both been in the team recently. They're pretty young, pretty raw, but they're getting kind of a little bit of a run out, really. And we've also got another couple with Dan Gallimore and another one. There's a guy called Cameron Wilson. However, he was out on loan at the minute, which surprises me, actually, because I always thought he was decent when I've seen him play. But kind of those four, I would probably say. So, yeah, like, despite the fact that the pros, you know, the season pros are absolute garbage, some of the kind of younger players, you know, are kind of excelling at the minute, despite the fact that we lose every game without fail. So, yeah.
Okay. So there's a glimmer of hope.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, it's nice to see kind of players coming through the ranks and getting their chance. I mean, that could just be because like the senior pros are so bad that they're getting a chance. But you know, it's still nice to see them having a go. So yeah. But you know, kind of like traditionally, we have always done quite well bringing kind of players through and then selling them on, or bringing like younger players into the club, having them like kind of play a few seasons and then selling them on as well. So it's kind of something that we've done in the past.
Nice. Any big names we, Sham and I, might know? Keep in mind we're dumb Americans, but is there anyone?
Yeah, so I like not from the academy, but there's been so Billy Sharp, who obviously played in the Premier League recently with Sheffield United. He played for Scunny for about, God, was it two or three seasons? Something like, scored a lot of goals. But we bought him when he was young from Russian and Diamonds. But kind of, you know, he did really well. We won the league with him and stuff like that. This is when we were good, by the way. and kind of he moved on to better things. Yeah, like Andy Keogh as well is another one around the same time. And Gary Hooper as well, who played for Celtic in the SPL. So those are kind of three off the top of my head.
Wow. And by the way, Harvey Cribb, you mentioned Harvey Cribb. I see here he is the youngest player in club history to get a first team start at 16 years, 36 days back in February. So he's 16 years old. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's nuts.
That is crazy.
Kind of testament. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I mean, what was I doing at 16? I have no idea. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Probably not much. So you know, he's done well, and he's looked good kind of when he's played sparingly. But you know, yeah, it's kind of testament to kind of we do at some point bring good players through.
Yeah,
he's very, very young, but hopefully he doesn't get broken before the end of the season.
Yeah. So are we gonna see him play on Saturday?
It's possible. I mean, I'm not sure what the manager will go with, but it's very possible that if he doesn't start, he'll probably be on the bench.
Wow, that's crazy. 16. All right, anyway, all right, follow-up question here. Thinking of Scunthorpe, the industrial era, iron, steel, who on the team would be the worst child laborer if they were born in the industrial era of Scunthorpe?
Oh, right, okay. I mean, we've got a lot of lazy players, so
Yeah, I feel like you're going to name the entire starting 11.
No, I won't do that. The worst child labourer. I mean, we've got a goalkeeper who's very poor at catching the ball, so I assume he's got really small fingers. So he probably actually okay. would be a good child labourer.
Yeah, he'd be good for that. Right. Yeah, small fingers can reach.
Exactly, reaching behind the machinery and stuff like that, and probably Jordan Hallam actually, because he kind of looks like a child now, and he's always injured, so he would always be off sick.
Right. There you go. Right. We got our sickly Victorian child.
That's a good answer.
There.
Perfect. Yeah. All right, here we go. Last question. Well, actually, yeah, second to last question. Sean's going to hit the last question. Who is your Iron Man? And you can take that for whatever you in whatever connotation you want. Who is the Iron Man of this team?
On this team, that's another difficult. We've had a lot of really good Iron Men, if you like, in the past. But at the minute, I suppose I would probably go with, I mean, this is actually a lot more difficult than I thought it would. Probably kind of Anthony Grant. We signed him in January, really, really big, imposing kind of physique. Got a really good kind of career, had a really good career in kind of Football League. Good, really good midfielder. He's probably our best player, I would say. So probably Anthony Grant.
Nice. He hasn't played in the last few games, though, it looks like, right?
Yeah, I think he's been suspended. So.
Oh, you got a red card?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. All right, cool.
Yeah, between injuries and laziness and suspensions, it just seems like it's tough here. Your region. So, okay, again, you mentioned to us who your Iron Man is. Anthony Graham. And we just want to follow up on that because when you Google Ozzy Osbourne, former lead singer of Black Sabbath, whose main hit was Iron Man, we did that in preparation for this conversation. The number one Google people also search for phrase was, how is Ozzy Osbourne still alive? It makes total sense. So, and I feel like I may know the the answer to this that you'll give us, but who do you think to yourself, how are they still on the pitch? Or how have they still managed to stay here at Scunthorpe, despite all scientific evidence to the contrary?
Well, that's a good one, actually. And I've got the perfect candidate for that question. And his name is Keenan Dunwell-Turan. And he's played about 20 minutes of football and hit the corner flag with about 20 shots. Another weird one. I don't really understand who signed him, why we signed him. He doesn't look like a professional footballer. Bless him. But having said that, he's a really nice guy because we played Harrogate away earlier in the season. We got absolutely hammered. We were 4-0 down in 20 minutes. And I remember leaving the ground and he kind of travelled with a match day squad, but he wasn't involved. And I don't know where he'd been. He was just outside the ground in his training kit. So I assume he'd just been to the pub or something, when the team was playing. And basically we said to him, what's going on? What on earth's going on here? And he said, I'm sorry, the manager has no idea what he's doing. And
oh, wow.
Honesty.
Yeah, exactly. And he seemed like a real nice guy, but I have no idea as a professional footballer. So there we go.
Fair enough. Well, wow. Now that you mentioned him, we looked him up and he's a German footballer. So that's that famous German bluntness. Our manager has no idea what he's doing. all it is.
So, well, let's get into this. Wait, am I still on? Okay, good. I thought I accidentally closed this. All right, let's get into this. Just a few seasons ago, and by the way, when I say let's get into this, we're actually almost done, but we're finally going to talk a little football. So let's finally get into some football here. Just a few seasons ago, you guys were in League One. A decade or so ago, you guys were in the Championship. Now you're on the verge of relegation from the EFL, which I don't know if that's ever happened, that you guys have been outside the league. You can tell us in a second. But just what has gone wrong for Scunthorpe? Why are you in this position today?
How long have you got? I mean, you are right. We did used to be a good club, a well-run football club, and we used to punch well above our weight kind of in the Championship, which was huge for us, really, against some really, really big teams. Kind of the golden age, if you like, for sort of Scunthorpe United. It's just sort of... it's gone downhill real fast. Kind of, we got a new chairman came in 2014. It looked pretty good for the first couple of seasons. He kind of pumped a lot of money in, and we were trying to get back into the championship. We had some really, really good players. We had a really, really good team. We just didn't get promoted for whatever reason. We played probably some of the best football I've seen in the first kind of couple of years that the current chairman was there. And so since then, it's kind of just kind of gone downhill. We obviously got relegated from League One, and we've had a couple of seasons at the foot of League Two, and it's just like seemingly just an endless kind of shambles, really. Everything that you can think about will go wrong has kind of gone wrong. You know, the player recruitment's been absolutely dreadful. Consistently, we've brought in terrible players, and I don't know who's been signing some of these players. They don't even look like footballers. We've sacked so many managers. I've lost count. Yeah, kind of the feeling is really, it's at the moment for most Scunthorpe fans, is that it's the chairman's fault, really, because we've tried everything else. We've had so many different managers, so many different players, and we've just remained absolutely terrible over the past kind of 5 or 6 seasons, really. So, you know, that's what it is. And we will like 100% get relegated this year. There's no way we're not going to get relegated. Then it's just what happens after that, whether the chairman decides to sell up, whether we cease to exist in a few years, because quite a few clubs, kind of size of Scunthorpe, have gone down the same route, and they've basically liquidated and kind of, yeah, it doesn't look good. Like we're not in a good place, and a lot of there's a lot of anger at the moment kind of directed towards the chairman from Scunthorpe United fans, and it is justified.
Yeah, are supporters agitated
recently, right?
Go ahead.
I was just saying, you had the chairman on your podcast recently, right?
Yes, he comes on quite often. We have a good relationship with him, to be fair. And he comes on, answers questions, and he's always kind of given us time and things like that, which we obviously appreciate, and we do work with him and speak to him quite regularly around kind of what's going on at the club and things like that. But, you know, really, I think that the time has sort of come for us to be a little bit critical of him, because, you know, it's just not looking good, and the club is literally on life support at the minute. In more ways than one. So it's not looking good. So it's really unfortunate. And
I mean, you mentioned in the beginning, like when we were talking about the kit, like just how do you enter a season without a kit sponsor? Like,
exactly.
Like that's like the most basic fundamental like thing to
exactly
get,
yeah,
to do, like
right, regardless of results. Yeah,
one of many things. There's a lot of stuff like that that's kind of been going really badly wrong behind the scenes. So.
Well, that's sad. And you know, I mean, obviously we hope that the tragedy of the, you know, losing the club doesn't happen. And, you know, we hope a miracle happens and you turn the season around in these last, 7 games? Well, not 7 games, 6 games, because we don't want you to turn around on Saturday. But after Saturday, we hope you turn it around and have a crazy miracle of a great escape, because it's not technically over, right? You're not mathematically eliminated yet. It's still possible.
Yeah.
Unlikely, but possible.
It's sort of possible, but, you know, incredibly unlikely, because we're so terrible and we just don't win games, score goals, you know. The fundamental things you need to do anything in football, we just can't do it. So,
I think you haven't won since February 8th, if I think that's right. And, sorry?
Yeah, no, that sounds about right.
Yeah, and we've both been, so actually, moving on to Saturday, you know, we're both in desperate need of a win. You guys, if you want to have any hope of a great escape from relegation, and also just to get some, you know, morale boost, just to have something to smile about, you guys desperately need a win. We desperately need a win because we've had a really poor run of form as well. We did win the last game. It was the first game in 7 or 8, I forget.
Yeah, I think 8.
So we've also been on a really poor run, at risk of losing that massive lead that we had at the top. So we're both desperate for a win on Saturday for very different reasons. I guess I want to go on to the game. Like, what do you think, or what do we need to do, in your opinion? What does Forest Green need to do to break the iron curtain, pun intended, and beat the iron? What do we need to do to win on Saturday?
Turn up.
Turn up.
That's it. If you've got a team on the pitch, you'll beat us. I'm afraid that's just the way it is. All you have to do is turn up. The first shot on target will probably go in. But if it doesn't, once the first goal kind of goes in, that's it. We'll just like lay down tools and just let you kind of walk straight over us. Unfortunately, that's just the way it is, because that's how bad we are. But yeah, genuinely, like I think you know, kind of, if we keep it to kind of four goals, you know, that's probably a good result for us. Just because, that's the way it is at the minute.
Oh, yeah, we keep feel the pain goals. In your voice, Matt. Yeah, yeah. Like of kind of the just the jaded nature of how the season has gone for you. Like, in like yeah. you said, compounded with the past several seasons of results. Yeah, it's intense. So are there things like kind of agitation that is going on with some of the supporters with the chairman? I think probably the most famous example for Americans might be what was happening with Newcastle in the Premier League and Mike Ashley, how so many of the supporters are just like, you know, to sell the club already. Is something happening similar to that around Scunthorpe? Or is it just kind of like at this point a bit of a resigned feeling like we're getting?
Yeah, I think people have kind of come to the conclusion that the reason that we're not doing very well, haven't done for the past few seasons, is unfortunately just because the way the club's being run, and there's been a lot of calls for the chairman to basically sell up. And I think apparently he's when he spoke to the other Matt on the Ironbrew podcast last week, he basically said that he's looking at different interested parties who are interested in, so he says, interested in buying the club. And I think that's kind of the way out, really. We kind of need that transition to kind of new owners. I don't know whether it'll happen or not, but that's kind of what we're looking at. So yeah, there is a comparison there to be had. So it'd be interesting if it ever happens. I'm not sure.
Yeah, well, we are rooting, you know, for the future of Scunthorpe. We're not rooting for you on Saturday, but we are rooting for you to, if you can, avoid relegation, if not, at least survive as a club and rebuild in the National League and come back up to the league next year or in a few years. We will let you get out of here on this last question. We've kept you way too long. Sorry, Matt, yeah. But it's been so fun, like, talking to you. This has been awesome, you know, getting to know about Scunthorpe. You've been awesome with us, very generous with your time. So let's, last question here. Prediction for Saturday, Matt.
4-0 to Forest Green.
Oh man.
Wow.
Normally I would love that, but I'm so sad for Scunthorpe. Like, I don't want that. I want that, but I feel so bad for Scunthorpe right now. I guess I hope you're right, because we desperately need a big win to boost our morale and fuel us into this home stretch. But I hope after Saturday you win out the rest of the season, have a miracle, and stay up. Matt, thank you so much.
Did Nathan mention that we're also ignorant and just blindly optimistic about most things? Sincerely wish that
that's
for
true.
You.
But and I think we do. Yeah. I mean, we don't want to see a club like Scunthorpe go down. We don't want to see any, actually, though, we love every club we've met. We don't want to go down except for Tranmere. It's the only club we want to get relegated. We want to get relegated. But anyway. Yeah.
And that's to hell. Not even to, like, the National League. Just to hell is fun.
But Matt, man, we really appreciate you, man. You've been so generous with your time, so open with us. Thank you for hanging out with us. Thank you for educating us on Scunthorpe, man. Worst of luck on Saturday, but best of luck the rest of the season, man. I mean that. I hope you guys find some light at the end of this dark, very dark tunnel that's been this season and the last few seasons, I guess, for you guys. So thanks so much for coming on, man. And we will see you, well, probably not next year, but hopefully in a few years we'll be together in League One again.
No worries. Cheers, guys. Great speaking to you.
Cheers, Matt. Matt Ellis. I said Hattie the Baddie. Shout out to Maddie the Baddie. Matt Ellis. Awesome chat with our guy Matt, man. What a great dude.
What a great dude. What a real dude, man. No BS at all in his appraisal of the club that he loves. Of its recent past and where it is right now, and, you know, kind of fears for the future. But we appreciate that so much, that he brought that realness, that we learn more about this League Two culture, and again, how precarious professional football can be for so many clubs and communities. And also, I'm never going to look at the word Scunthorpe again. I can never look at that spelling again without seeing what he mentioned to us. That's wild.
Oh, my God. The Scunthorpe problem. That's
the
amazing.
The Scunthorpe problem, yeah.
Yeah, same. I can never look at that word again.
Yeah.
Same. That's amazing. Anyway, huge shout to Matt. We appreciate you, man. Thank you for coming on. I really hope you guys don't get relegated. It looks like it's probably going to happen, but, man, I'm hoping, fingers crossed, for a miracle. So, Shimmy, let's get out of here. Before we do, give me your prediction for Scunthorpe United Saturday.
Well, you know, I hate to agree with Matt after he brought Matt so much pathos to this this podcast, but I think I'm going to have to. I think this is going to be the chance for us to really seize the opportunity get some of our boys seeing the ball bulge the back of the net again. So I'm hoping Jamma gets a goal or two. I think Maddie's going to continue to have his career and record holding season. So I'm going to say, instead of 4-0, I'll say 3-0. I think we're going to run out 3-0 winners.
3-0. Okay. All right. All right. I like that. I'm going to go 4-0, Shimmy. We're going. So I'm gonna agree with Matt Ellis. 4-0. We got Maddie Stevens getting another goal. Jamma has not scored for a while. He's due for a goal. Jamma's getting a goal. We're gonna have a tricky Nicky free kick goal on this one. We haven't seen it for a while, but it's time. It's happening. This game, tricky Nicky free kick to make it 3-0, and then who else to put the little cherry on top of the little iron cake? Sounds like a disgusting cake. A little iron cake. But Dom Bernard, drippy Dom Bernard, well, getting that fourth goal for us.
Yeah, it's like one of those cakes that has that you send to somebody in prison that has the iron file inside, you know, so that they can escape through the bars. So it's that sort of cake.
Yes. I love it. All right, Shimmy. Let's get out of here, baby. Up the Vegan Rovers.
Up the Vegan Rogers. Up the Vegan Rogers. It's been too long since we've done this pod. God dang it.
It has.
Up the Vegan Rovers. We are FGR.
And you know we gotta
raise
hell.
Raise hell.
Hell yeah.
Yeehaw.
Yeehaw. Thank you all for listening. Oh my God, we cannot wait to see you in 3 weeks. Is that how many? Whatever. However long it is. Whenever we're there, I cannot wait. Man, and send us suggestions. We have no idea what we're doing during that time.
Cotswolds, here we come. We're on our way. We need to know what to do.
Let's go. All right. Thank you guys so much for listening. We will see you soon.
Bye.
Bye.